Post-Harlan Monologics. Number 00021. Recorded on February 17, 2023. Production location, Post. Harlan. Texas. Chapter 21.
The opinions of Maverick 88 are not necessarily the opinions of Maverick 88. Sensitive content warning. Viewer discretion is advised.
Now, buckle up. You are on the runaway train of thought. Ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, the one, the only, Maverick 88.
So, I am sitting here on my lunch break in the pickup truck in the F-150 mobile studio, right? As I like to say. And bored out of my mind, really fucking tired today for some reason. And just kind of kicking back and listening to music, right? And I got on my 70s AM gold playlist, right? I break it out every once in a while when I want to be nostalgic back to my childhood, right? I'm just in that kind of mood today, right? And so I'm listening to 70s AM gold, and what that is it's like a lot of one-hit, two-hit wonder type of people and their songs that made them instantly famous for a moment. Played on the AM stations predominantly, not so much on the FM as it was back then. 70s AM gold. And, you know, it was kind of like, when you're a burnout like me and you listen to like the heavy music and the rock and the heavy metal and the punk and the grunge, you know, a lot of what added up to being 70s AM gold was more on the lines of like adult contemporary / soft rock / bubblegum pop, that kind of stuff in the 70s, you know. We'd hang around drinking beer and smoking pot and making fun of that kind of shit. You didn't listen to that on your own. Like, I didn't like race to the stereo and tune in to 70s AM gold, right? That's the kind of music that you ended up hearing when you were trapped with an adult, right? This is what your mother and father listened to, right? Wherever you were with an adult when you were stuck. You know, I could think of like being on our school bus coming and going from, you know, junior high and having to listen to whatever the bus driver had on their radio, right? Which was usually just a shitty AM radio, you know, one band, not even an FM, no cassette. You know, the bus came with what it came with, and shit, if even had that at all, but it would usually be like this monophonic AM one speaker, horrible sounding, but you'd hear the kind of music that I'm describing here, that 70s AM gold. And you know what I've found as I've gotten older I find myself in a situation where I'll hear one of these types of songs. And I remember, you know, because I was, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old. You're always stuck with an adult somewhere, right? In a car, and then in the house, you know, you'd be waiting for dinner to be finished. Your mother be cooking and she got AM radio going on and it's playing this music. I know all these songs. I don't know about them. I never really listened to them intently. You know, I was never like a really great fan. Like I would get a new Pink Floyd album and I would listen to it like 743 times in a row and like take fucking notes, you know, listen to every note, every word, decipher the hidden meanings of the songs. You know, I never looked at any of these 70 AM gold playlist type of songs in that regard. It was just background music of my life. But whenever I hear that now, it brings me back to the 1970s, you know, what it was like to be a kid, you know, the wonderment of childhood. So it's a good nostalgic feeling for me. So I break it out periodically. I've actually created my own playlist. I've paid money and downloaded certain songs that bring me back to that time. And one of these songs, this guy Gary Wright, who the fuck is he? I don't even know who this guy is. I had no idea. Gary, but he did this song called Dreamweaver in the 70s, right? It's really spaced out, really psychedelic, really trippy. And I remember hearing it. When I hear it now, it like puts me in the back seat of like, you know, my parents' station wagon, right? Wherever we'd go anywhere that was over like 20 minutes long, me and my brother, the kids, you know, we would be lounged out in the back, you know, laying out in the station wagon. You know, I could just like, remember laying there and kind of being able to see out the window and all you'd see is like the sky and street lights because you're looking upwards, right, out through the window. And just that alone is trippy. You're just like watching the clouds go by, or if it's like nighttime, the moon, you know. And then they have this really trippy song. And this is before I ever took any psychedelic drugs, you know. Actually, several years before. It wasn't like I was some kind of psychedelic kid. It wasn't like somebody put like LSD in my fucking Kool-Aid when I was 4 and I was just like a trip case, you know, from that point forward. No. But the music was so psychedelic, and like looking up into the sky, watching the clouds pass as you're just going down the highway, it puts you in that ethereal space. Put me there, right? It was just something ethereal and angelic about it. And yeah, Dreamweaver, it was one of those songs, and I got that. You know, it puts me right in that place. You know, like time like passes backwards. It's like traveling time. And there's another song like that. This other guy who I don't know who the fuck he is, right? And I could think of two songs by him from the 70s that got a lot of airplay when you were trapped in these adult situations, right? Al Stewart, right? I don't know who Al Stewart is, but he has a song like, speaking of like time passing, he has a song called Time Passages, right? Time Passages. I don't even know what it's about. Get me a ticket on the last train home tonight. I have no idea what the song is about. I don't know the lyrics, but I've probably heard it like 700 times in my life, you know? It kind of puts me back to the time it came out. 78, I think, something like that. So 78, when I was 10, 11 years old, I'd have been in the fifth grade, I guess. And when I hear that song, what it reminds me is being in a car with one of my parents and driving right through Martinsville, New Jersey, where I grew up. That was like the year we moved there. When I hear that song, that's where my mind goes to. We used to call it Uptown, like Martinsville, very rural town with a couple of subdevelopments in it back then. It's a little bit more built up now. I mean, we're going back 40 fucking years, right? Something like that, yeah. And it just had this one strip Washington Valley Road that had Commerce, and it was all locally owned proprietors. You didn't have like chain restaurants like McDonald's or anything. Like they had an Exxon gas station, I guess, a bank. You had the Village Tavern Bar, Joe's Pizzeria. This is what I remember. There was a photo place. In fact, I briefly dated the girl whose father owned it when I was in high school, right? I can't remember what the name of it was. But there was like a little photo shop there, right? Back in the day, you actually had like shops for photography. You'd bring your film into, right? We had one of those in the town there. And that's it. Like, I remember I was like heading west down Washington Valley Road, right through town. And like, you know, Joe's Pizzeria would pass on the left, and then the photo place would pass, and then a little volunteer fire department. And I hear this Al Stewart Time Passages song. That's where it brings me back to. It's one of those little arbitrary moments in time, you know? No meaning to it. But I heard that song there, and that's what it brings. It's incredible, right? Al Stewart. Who the fuck is Al Stewart? I don't know. Like in the 70s. Yeah, 70s were a little peculiar. Everything was kind of oriented towards Europe. Like, it had to be European to be cool. And a lot of that had like a Scottish flavor to it, right? Think of, well, like, oh man, nothing could be more bubblegum and stupid and fucked up than the Bay City Rollers, right? It was one of those a teeny bopper, Tiger Beat bands, literally playing for 12-year-old kids. What do they have? Saturday night. SATURDAY night. And they dressed in all this weird tartan fucking, the most oddest clothes. What was it? It was like bell-bottom but floodwater pants where you could see their socks. And they had these hats with these like big little poofy balls on them. And fucked up little bangy haircuts. And very odd, very peculiar. And it was like they were trying to push these fad type of styles onto the teeny boppers, and they were so just out there that it didn't take. I don't remember ever seeing a kid, you know, a contemporary kid anywhere in New Jersey, right, dressing anything close to any of that. But it was a thing. It's like everything had to be European, like in the mid to late 70s, to be quote-unquote cool. And I was just never really down with that. I'm American, you know, an American boy, American man. I've always been American, and I never really got down with the European shit. But that's it's just like the way it was. I guess it's hard to explain. I'm probably not doing a good job of it. But like I was saying, it had that, like, that little Scottish flair. And Al Stewart, go figure, right? Stewart, one of those Scottish people, one of those Scottish pop culture entities of the 70s, right? So you had all these famous Stewarts that all happened to be from Scotland, right? Rod Stewart, probably the most famous of them all. Another musician, a singer dude with the raspy voice. You know Rod Stewart. He had a lot of hits. He was not a one-hit wonder, but hey, you wonder about the guy, I guess. Jackie Stewart was another Stewart, right? One of them famous Stewarts in the 70s. Jackie Stewart, he was the guy. And I don't know if you were there, you were my age, and you still might not even remember this guy, right? This is, I can't believe that my database had pulled this shit up. But Jackie Stewart, he was some Scottish Formula One auto racer dude from like the 60s and 70s. And he was on TV like all the fucking time. Like, I always watch sports when I watch TV. And when you have sports, you have certain brand of marketing that gets shot out at you, right? And he did like a motor oil commercial of some sort, if I remember. And I don't know what the brand was. I can't remember. I'm sorry. I'm not that good today. But he did some kind of motor oil advertisements. But he was like always on Wide World of Sports. They would have some kind of Formula One, IndyCar type of racing. And he'd be one of the announcers. And he's got that very Scottish accent. You can't even understand what the fuck he's saying. He always wore that little hat, a little UK type of Irish. I don't know what the hell they're called. Like an Andy Cap cap, right? Andy Cap from the comic strips. Andy Cap. Wow, there's a thought right there. In the sixth grade, right, I actually, we had some kind of, I guess, an art class project. And I did I replicated a huge size Andy Cap comic. Wow, where did that memory come from? Here I'm thinking I'm like going senile, losing my shit. But nah, here we go, chucking up some things. Yeah, Andy Cap, he was some kind of, he was always, what was he, like a ornery fucking dude, him and his wife, and I don't know, was he a drunk or something? I don't really remember. I remember liking the comic strip, liking enough to replicate it. Yeah, comic strips would be real small, you see them in a newspaper or whatever, and I did one that was like a full-on, like 11 by 17, and I think it wasn't like the full strip. It was just like one frame. It was just really ginormous Andy Cap. But anyway, this Jackie Stewart auto racer guy, he wore that kind of hat, whatever the hell that thing is called. It's kind of like a little UK po' boy type. I know you all know what it is. I know you know what it's called. I'm the only idiot that don't know what it's called. I don't wear that hat. I don't like those hats. I guess I'm on a need-to-know basis with it, and I never really needed to know. But so, yeah, Jackie Stewart, Scotland. It's like every other person that ever came out of Scotland is named Stewart for some reason. I don't know what's behind all that. I do know that it's Stewart means steward. It's really the same word. And let me get a dictionary definition for you, right? Let's go to the dictionary, right? A steward is one who manages another's property, finances, or other affairs, right? So it's like you're too busy or too lazy to take care of your own responsibilities. You hire somebody to do it for you, right? And I guess Scotland's just full of those kind of people. Maybe not so much no more, because in the 70s, they were all coming over here to America and getting famous on TV and in the music. But, yeah, so they're the stewards. So Scotland and stewardship is, and I'm going to go back a couple of years into my Protestant days, right? My Protestant days, Protestant Christianity. Stewardship was a fairly common topic for the Sunday sermon in the churches, right? It was the precursor to give me your fucking money, right? Stewardship was the idea that everything you own, you're really just managing. God owns it, right? Everything belongs to God, and what you've been allocated, you're managing on God's behalf. And your ability to manage, your stewardship capability, if done appropriately, should establish for you a higher amount of excess, which in turn you give to the church, right? So you would get like 2 or 3 weeks of stewardship sermons, and then they would start begging for money. Well, we need money for the kids' youth camp this year. It was always a setup, and it was annual. It was every fucking year, like clockwork. And it's like, what? Is nobody paying attention here but me? And that just drove me crazy, I don't let, money's a bad thing. Every time you bring money into it, not that money itself is bad, but what happens with people around it? And it just gets really fucked up. And one day I'm going to do one of these podcasts that really hones in on some of the more fucked up things about Christianity, right? I'm Christian. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I got no bones about that. But what has happened to the faith in Western civilization, and then even more so here, further west in the civilization, in the Americas, you know, United States in particular, Bible Belt on top of that more particular, right? Really, really, some really fucked up shit, but that's kind of getting away from the track of things. You know, Al Stewart, going back to Al Stewart, I mentioned his song, Time Passages, but, you know, that was like his, this guy, he's, in my opinion, a one-hit wonder, but he had kind of this secondary hit, and the secondary hit was that Time Passages song, you know, it was like, all right. But his masterpiece, his really, really great song, was a song that came out 2 years earlier, 1976, The Year of the Cat, right? Year of the Cat. What an excellent song. It's well constructed. Is it adult contemporary? Yeah. Is it soft rock? Yeah. Is it bubblegum shit? No, no. It's adult. It's adult music. But it's a ballad, right? And I don't really get the whole story. Something to do about a guy meeting a girl and he, you know, certain kind of day. I think he was like a tourist. He was like on vacation and he met this girl and they had like a one night stand sort of thing. And he got up in the morning to get back on his tour bus and he missed it. So he had to hang around for a little while, something like that, right? A decent little story in a ballad. And the script, there were a lot of pop references, Bogart movie, and you know, things from like Hollywood, you know, kind of set the backdrop for the story, right? Nothing wrong with the story, pretty decent story, but just the structure of the song, it had like multiple solos in it, real short, but just perfect, note for note perfect. The engineering of the song, just crisp, everything. Really clean, done well, excellent song. And I would never expected it. I remember that song from when it came out. Just like Time Passages and just like Dreamweaver and all these other songs. There's a bunch of them. But I never really listened to them. And now, older, when I hear them and I really listen to them, and I've probably said this before, the quality of 1970s recordings, you know, at the end of the analog era, right, was masterful. Right? Shortly after this, we went into the digital recording era. So whatever practices had developed for analog recording had come to like their highest capabilities, right, like in the late 70s. So there's masterful recordings, masterful engineering. What a great song. Year of the Cat, 1976. And now I don't know what like the Year of the Cat has to do with the song. Year of the Cat, that's like a Chinese calendar reference, right? Year of this, year of that, year of the rabbit. Well, sometimes, and I don't understand that. Every so many years, the whatever animal it was comes back around again. And for whatever reason, that was the Year of the Cat. Was 1976 the Year of the Cat? I don't know. Was it 75? Was he telling a story from 20 years earlier? I don't really know. I don't really know. And I'm not really a cat person. In fact, I'm not even close to being a cat person. I don't really like cats. They okay with soy sauce, I guess. You know? There we go. I just segued Chinese and cats and soy sauce. And yeah, because they say it's made of cat, right? The Chinese food, the meat, and the wontons. And I've seen it with my own eyes. I remember a day when me and a couple friends of mine, in high school, we went out. We had this little section in our high school we called the Cloud, right? That's where we would go to smoke. We weren't allowed to smoke, but we would go out there and smoke. And everybody who went down, there was a picnic table out front of school next to a couple of cedar trees that were lambasted with poison ivy. And I don't know, get into all that. But all the burnouts would just go hang out down there, smoke cigarettes, smoke pot, whatever, right? Flirt with the girls. And it was the cloud. That's what we called the place because, you know, you looked out there and there was just smoke everywhere. And next to it was a tall chain link fence. And I guess I was out there with a couple people smoking and joking. And we decided, you know, fuck school. So we went down the chain link fence a little ways away from the cloud. There was a little opening cut out in it. And we went through that. We crossed across the freeway, Interstate, 287 over there? It's 287 over there. And we got across that without getting run over. Then we went across Route 22, and we ended up in Somerville right there, right? Across from a high school. And or we came out on the Somerville side, on the eastbound side of good old Route 22. It was a Chinese restaurant over there. A couple of things were over there, but we came out like in front of the Chinese restaurant. We walked around back. We decided we were going to kind of stop back there, like behind like their dumpster, and smoke a little bit of weed, right? So we're back there, we're smoking a little weed, and there's this little outbuilding. It's kind of like a large doghouse, basically, is all it was. Nothing fancy. And don't you know, while we're standing out there, all these cats come out. I mean, all these cats, like a couple of dozen of them, right behind where? The Chinese restaurant. So it makes you wonder, you know, it makes you wonder. A lot of times these stereotypes, you know, they have a basis in reality, right? Probably all the time. So, yeah, there's that. But, yeah, the cat, it's not bad. Like I said, it's okay with soy sauce. Soy sauce. Soy boy, right? Soy boy. That's kind of like one of the catchphrases of the modern era, right? Soy boy. That's a reference to effeminate gentlemen, right? Fancy lads. There's other words for them. Cook, right? Soy boy, cook. The low T type, right? Low T. Yeah, that's a thing. The soy boy. But I, you know, past couple of years, that's just a phrase that I've heard kind of frequently, and I can tell, you know, I could tell the way it's used what it's really saying. That's why would it be a soy boy? Now, soy is a bean, right? In fact, up in that town, Martinsville, once upon a time, they grew soybeans. There was a field back there. We used to grow some pot back there, actually. There was a grass company, Loft Seeds, and they had some back fields where they actually, I think it was them, were growing soybeans more often than not during the years. So soy is a bean, and it's a protein, you know. There's a plant protein, not an animal protein in the soy. And a lot of people who are like vegetarians and vegans and things like that eat a lot of soy-based foods, and because it's lacking in certain of the branched chain amino acids, I guess the idea is that you don't really have your full blast of testosterone and male growth hormone, and you're kind of a little effeminate. Now, I don't know how true all that is. I mean, I know of at least one person who I wouldn't regard as faggy who's a vegan. I'm not going to name any names, right? But this is where I think that soy boy comes from. Moving on, right? Moving on, soy boy. Soy sauce, right? Soy sauce. Going back to soy sauce, right? That's that salty shit. You get these packets of them when you order Chinese food, right? You get Chinese takeout, and you pull out your fried rice, and you pull out your lo mein, whatever the hell you got there, right? And you always get all these packets. You get the packet, the brown packets, the soy sauce, and the yellow, the golden packets, the duck sauce, right? And it's like every house you ever go into, they got this one odd drawer in the kitchen. You pull it open, and it's full of fucking soy sauce and duck sauce packets, right? Right? Am I right? You probably have one, right? That's Americana right there. That's Americana. You know, when you have a drawer full of soy sauce and duck sauce packs in a kitchen somewhere. What the fuck is duck sauce? I've had people, you know, what is duck sauce? Now, I know what duck sauce is, but I like to joke about this kind of stuff, right? And I don't know why, but I do, right? I like to joke about this stuff. Yeah, duck sauce, it's a sauce that's made out of, like, real duck, actual duck, you know? They rip the feathers off of a duck, and then they just squeeze the fuck out of the thing, and it oozes with this fucking sauce that you scrape off, and you put it in these little packets, and it's duck sauce, right? And you can use it on anything. It's made out of real ducks. I think the truth of the matter is one of the big Chinese dishes historically has been the Peking duck, right? Which is, Peking is the old pre-communist name for the city of Beijing. Right? Peking duck is a well-known traditional Chinese meal. And the sauce that you would use with that duck was the duck sauce. That's my take on it anyway. So is it made of real ducks? Let me ask you this then. What about Panda Express? Think about it. Panda Express. Me and my wife, now Panda Express, what Panda Express is a chain, right? It didn't used to be this way. It was always local proprietorships when it came to Chinese restaurants. But now it's like you start to see here around DFW and probably nationwide. You got like these kind of chain Chinese Asian restaurants. And Panda Express is one of them. You know, my wife and I will be driving around. You go through, you know, most towns have like their kind of commercial shopping district in it, and you drive through there, and they got all their little strip malls and all their little fast food places, and there's invariably nowadays a Panda Express. And of course I rub my belly and go, panda meat, right? And my wife laughs, and it's funny, and I never eat there or anything, but because I buy local, and you know, I just don't. But I wonder, you know, do they use real panda meat there? My favorite would be the Kung Pao Panda. I think that would be my line if that was the case. Now, Panda Express ain't the only one. Like I said, there's Asian. That one's Chinese, I guess. But there's another one. It's, I don't know how to even say it. I really don't. You're all going to slap me in the face because I know you all know. You're all connoisseurs of all this fast food, kind of drive up window type of eating. I'm just not that guy. P-E-I-W-E-I, right? I say pee-wee because fuck it. That's what I say. It might be pay-way, pee-way, pay-wee. I don't know, but I call it Pee-wee, right? Pee-wee Asian Diner, which apparently is a mixture of the varieties of Asian, Oriental, Far East food, not just exclusively Chinese, right? And there's differences. Like Chinese, as you know, you got the panda, like I just said, right? The Chinese had the panda, and the Chinese got the duck, and the Chinese, they eat the cat meat, right? The Koreans, on the other hand, they're known for the dog, right? They eat the dog, and you know, I don't, you know, the peewee thing, though. What bothers me is I got a buddy, right, up in Colorado, dude I used to party with in high school. He's like a cowboy and shit, you know, and he's got a horse. Well, he had a horse. I don't know if he still has it, if it died and he replaced it, but he had a horse. May still have a horse that was named Pee-wee, right? And I'm afraid of what might have happened with Pee-wee the horse when he died. Did he end up becoming fair for the Pee-wee Asian Diner? I hope not, you know? I hope not. I know horses aspire to be dog food, not human food, but Pee-wee the horse, good-looking animal, you know, good times up in the Rocky Mountains. Now, I joke about this shit, but I got a, you know, for the first time in my life, I have a friend who's actually a proprietor. There's that word again. It's like the third time I'm using it. Proprietor of a Chinese food restaurant, right? A buddy of mine, a close friend of mine from the church. owns and runs a Chinese food joint down here in Mesquite, Texas, Post Arlen, DFW, right? And he does a hell of a job. He does good. If I go for Chinese, that's where I go. I kind of got to go out of my way to get down to Mesquite. It's not far. It's the next town over, shit, generally, but it's south of me, and I do all my travel, you know, my moving about, my day-to-day activities are from where I live and then north from there, not south. So every once in a while, usually on a Saturday, I'll have to go out of my way and go and get some of his stuff. Really good, though. Really good. So I met him beginning of 2021, so it was just past 2020, which, you know, we talked about 1976 being the year of the cat, right? The Chinese year of the cat. Whether it was or not, I don't know. The song Year of the Cat came out in 76, but 2020, on the other hand, is the year of the bat, right? Year of the bat. The Wuhan bat, right? Because COVID supposedly, theoretically, broke out at a Chinese fresh market or something like that. What the fuck they call it? Wet market, right? That's what they called it. A Chinese wet market where they sell bat meat. That's what people eat, right? So it's like I mentioned about the Koreans with the dog meat. And then the Chinese got the whole list of all this odd shit, from panda to cat and bat also, right? So ever since 2020, now you go to a Chinese restaurant, you can get things like bat rangoon and bat chow mein and bat fried rice, right? You go to your Chinese place, they got that stuff. If they don't, hey, put a little letter in their suggestion box. Tell them to get with the fucking times, all right? Because we've made that turn culturally. Now, we're ready here in America for all this. These bat delicacies, right? The Wuhan bat delicacies. And well, going back around that time, 78, 79. It would have been 78, 79. I was in sixth grade, right? Up there in Bridgewater, New Jersey, right? Martinsville, New Jersey. I was going to Hillside School in the sixth grade. And one night, you know, one fateful night, we got little brown bats in New Jersey, right? It flew down our chimney chute, and it was cruising around the living room, making a ruckus, knocking shit over, making all this noise, and my father managed to catch it. I don't know how the fuck he did. I think he threw like a t-shirt on top of it or something like that. He stuffed it in like a fucking pickle jar and poked some holes in the lid and gave it to me. I took it to school for show and tell, right? We didn't really have like an organized show and tell thing. It's just, hey, I got a fucking bat. Check it out. You know, I brought it in. So, yeah, it was really cool. The teacher took like an hour out of the day, and we all like passing the bat around in the jar. We put it in a little cage, you know, let it sit in the classroom for a while, and then decided, hey, why don't we go out before the end of the day? We'll see if we can't get it to fly off, right? You know, usually they're kind of nocturnal and shit, but that's what we did. We went out. There was a little sidewalk out behind our classroom outside. We all got around it. Pulled this bat out carefully, laid it down on the ground, stretched its wings out, backed away from it, and just waited. And then all of a sudden, it just started moving, and it kind of propped itself up and just started flopping into the air, and it took off into a little patch of woods out there, right? And, yeah, it was cool. I mean, you see, when you're a kid like that, you see bats like in horror movies, all the vampire movies or the Dracula movies where he turns into bats and shit like that. And you're given the impression about how horrible a creature it is, how scary, like a monster, like kind of little fucking rodent with wings. But it was really cool. It was really cool to watch. They're a very unique, peculiar animal with the wings, with the little hands on them and shit like that. You know, they are very mousy. They are rodent, you know, rodents with wings. The wings are fleshy. They're not feathery like a bird. A very different kind of animal. You know, to actually catch one and bring it to school, now everybody gets to see him close up. The only time you really see bats around is twilight, right? Twilight starts setting in, the bats start going out. What do? They hunt for insects. They're great. You live in a place with a lot of mosquitoes, you got bats flying around back and forth. They're eating them up. And that's a good thing. That's a very good thing, in fact. And so I never really had a problem with bats. And a lot of getting me to that place with it was, you know, capturing this one and experiencing it up close and personal, right? So the show and tell bat story from, what, 1970? It had to be 79, but it's getting back in the 70s, you know, where things were just, they seemed a lot cooler for me. It was a better time in my stupid life anyway. And right around that same time, right? This is kind of funny too. Some of you video game people will appreciate this, right? Me and a couple friends from the neighborhood, right? We played on the Atari 2600. That was the console of the times, right? When you had the Atari 2600, you were the shit. That was it, right? There was, you went from Odyssey with the Pong up to the Atari 2600. Then the Intellivision came out. Intellivision, right? So right around that era, right? We had these Atari console games. One of them was called Adventure, right? That was like the big maze game. You walked around slaying dragons, and it was really, you know, the horrible graphics of that era, the way it was and everything like that. But it's a kind of game that I still like to this day, like the role-playing dungeon crawler game. That was like the original video game dungeon crawler. And in that game, like the big, well, you had, what was it, three dragons of different colors? There was a red one, there was a yellow one, I don't know, a green one, I forget exactly. There's two or three different dragons that were like your enemy, and they would come and like kill you. But you'd have to, you could find this sword, and if you saw, it had the sword on you, it was just an arrow. It was literally just an arrow. You know, it's like a line with a little V capsized at the end of it. And you'd have to stick the digital dragon with the arrow to kill it, right? And then so you had those nemesis dragons that were preventing you. What was the goal of that game? You had this blinking glowing chalice that you had to get, and like you had to open up all these little castles with keys, and you had to like get the chalice and bring it to somewhere to win the game. And they had these labyrinths that flashed. You can only see parts of them at a time. And you know, you found like a key or something, you'd go racing back to the castle door to open it up, and then like the real nemesis, this big black bat, would come flying across the screen out of fucking nowhere, and all it had to do was touch you, and it would steal whatever you were carrying, right? And then it would like just deposit it somewhere randomly, and you'd have to go through everything to go find this fucking thing all over again. So it was the bat, right? And we all hated the bat. In fact, the two guys that I played with, played this game with, they kind of named the bat after one of the neighborhood mothers. They regarded it as a bat. That old bat, right? And I'm not naming any names or anything like that. I don't want to get nobody in trouble. But one of the neighborhood's moms was like the Atari Adventure Bat Woman. Funny shit. Good times. You know, these are the kind of good times you had as children before... Yeah, things got a little weird, and you started doing the smoking a pot and going off on the deep end of life and existence. But you had the Atari bat. You know, back to the COVID era, right? It's funny. We got a couple of kind of younger people. I don't know if they're like at the end of the generation type of millennials, or they're earlier Gen Zers. I don't really know where the sociological break is on that sort of thing, but you know, we got a couple of younger people that work here, and they walk around, they wear like Star Wars shirts and shit like that, you know, nerdish. They're kind of nerdish people, right? Let's just put it like it is, you know. They're basically sci-fi and into that, but one of the sci-fi type of things that these people are into, two of them I got in mind particularly, every week I'll see both of them walking around with a Batman shirt, right? Like the Bat logo Batman shirt. And during the COVID era, it's like it occurred to me immediately. I see somebody walking around, you know, this girl walking around in her Batman shirt. I'm like, yeah, that's perfect. It's like the fucking COVID shirt. You're wearing your COVID shirt today. She's like, well, duh. That never even occurred to me, you know? That was strictly Batman. They weren't thinking about the bat virus or anything like that. What a perfect shirt, you know? I was like thinking, everybody on Earth, right, who got the COVID, because most of us did, you know, most of us got it multiple times. If you got the COVID, you should go get a COVID, a bat tattoo, right? One of them Batman tattoos. So out like 50 years in the future, they'll know that you had the COVID. Yeah, just some stupid shit like that. Things that come to my mind, I'm bored out of my mind in the fucking course of these stupid work days. In 1982, right, you had the famous story with Ozzy Osbourne biting the bat head off. Like, what was it, in Iowa or something at a concert? It actually happened. You know, there's a lot of people, that's bullshit. That did not happen. There was dispute about the story, and the dispute was whether or not the bat was live, right? You know, it turned out it wasn't live. People were saying, oh, Ozzy bit the head off of a live bat on stage in a concert. And that was actually a dead bat because, you know, there was a person that provided the bat from the audience. He brought the bat in. It was a pet that died, right? The guy had like a younger brother who bought a bat from a fucking pet store and it didn't survive. So this guy took it, brought it to the Ozzy concert, threw it at Ozzy. Ozzy picked it up and bit the head off it, but it was already dead, right? You had that story, right? The Ozzy Osbourne bat head biting story really happened. Incredible, right? Incredible. How he didn't get COVID, I don't know, but, That would be COVID before there was COVID. Ozzy Osbourne. And speaking of Ozzy, right, just going with that a little bit. It wasn't just the other day. I was kind of just doing a random scroll through my YouTube homepage. And what comes up? It was a Black Sabbath, right? Ozzy was originally the singer for Black Sabbath back in the 70s when Black Sabbath was fucking Black Sabbath, right? And there was a documentary on YouTube. It was sizable. It was like 45 minutes to an hour long. It was specifically about the Master of Reality LP, but it did a whole lot of back history that led up to that particular album. What was that, the third album, right? Yeah, it was third. I had the first four, plus I had a Greatest Hits one. I think somewhere later along the way, I picked up another one of the other later 70s ones. But anyway, I loved Black Sabbath. And I always thought it was really weird with Black Sabbath because they're associated with the occult so much, right? But when you look at it, like the pictures that they were wearing, if they were wearing like a cross around their neck, it was a cross, often a crucifix, like a Catholic, Roman Catholic type of crucifix. It wasn't like upside down. It wasn't pagan or Satanist or anything like that. And the lyrics to the songs, you know, I'd hear them. I'm like, they're making these kind of spiritual / religious references, but they don't really sound occultish. The heaviness of the music has some kind of element to that, but it never really struck me as. And when I'm watching this documentary, I don't know that I've ever seen a documentary on Black Sabbath before, oddly enough, you know. But even that was a thing, like early on in their history as a band, they were always being associated as occultists and Satanists, and they were swearing up and down to everybody that they were not, you know. They were trying to express, like, their lyrics are saying this, it's not saying what you think it's saying. And I get it, and I believe them. I believe it to be true. I've always had that sense. It's like these guys are either not occultists or they are pseudo, like they're pretending to be. They don't even know enough about it to do a good job. Something wasn't clicking there, right? It just didn't make sense. Now it does. To look at it through these eyes, to recognize that those guys are actually Christians. And then think about it, because they said so, right? They were Christians. That was the earliest Christian rock. That was Christian metal. All that Black Sabbath. There, so many of their songs had a spiritual / religious Christian connotation to them. And the heaviness of heavy metal was them just kind of detuning their guitar to lower open chords. to get the really, really what they call heavy sound. Interesting, isn't it? Now, Texas here, I'll get into bats in Texas. Texas is actually a thing to do in Texas is bat watching. Unfortunately, it's not up here in DFW. It's down in the southern hill country between Austin and Acuna in Mexico, around San Antonio. The hills out that way, they're known for bats. They have all these different bat watching areas, and in Texas, there's like, I don't know, 13 or like 17 different bats in the entire United States are found in Texas, something like that. It's the state with the most variety of bats, apparently. And so there you go. A lot about bats, right? The year of the bat. And we're going to close it off with that. I got to get going. But we'll see you again. Same bat time, same bat channel. Adios.
Thank you for tuning into Post-Arlen Monologics. Please understand that this project is meant to be part of a long-term archive as a series of snapshots reflecting a distant past. We are not seeking advertisers, but may at times accept private anonymous donations to help mitigate production costs. Further information involving this project and archived releases of Post-Arlen Monologics can be accessed over the World Wide Web at postarlen.com and at onsert.com. Comments, critiques, and inquiries may be submitted to Maverick through email at maverick88@postarlen.com.